Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In today's message, Pastor Joel teaches on the power of belief in the teaching series, Simply Believe.
Quite appropriately, the Lord said the name of this sermon is Simply Believe. Simply Believe. And it's posed as an answer to the question, what does it take to come into a relationship with the Lord? What does it take to be in a right relationship with Christ? In other words, what does it take for us as human beings, as mankind, men and women, boys and girls, to come to know Jesus? We need to simply believe him to be who he is, who is the Lord. Now, this, of course, requires faith, because as we know, faith is believing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Things not seen. You're not going to always see it. And when you're going through a trial, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You just see the darkness of the trial. Amen? So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You don't always see the end result, but you know the check is in the mail. You don't know when it's going to arrive, but you're waiting on it just the same. That's how faith is. And so we need to believe in this, and faith is believing. Nowadays, people believe in all kinds of things, all kinds of gods. And when I say God, I must say I'm using the term loosely. I mean people believe in what I call little g gods. There's a big G God, and there are a lot of little G gods. Okay, so I use that term loosely. There's only one true God. And we need to know that. And I'm saying this, you all know this, because we're Christ followers. Not only that, but we're followers who are attempting to be disciples of Christ. So we know who God is, but people that are watching may not know. People on Periscope and other things. So we're here to tell the truth. There are a lot of gods. You can even make someone your God. Your husband can be your God. Your wife can be your God. Your job may be your God. But we worship the one true God, and that God is Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we're talking about. There's only one true God. He is Lord. He is creator of the heavens and the earth. And from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament, all the way to Revelation, the Bible, the Holy Bible, makes clear that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Even though you don't see that name in the Old Testament, it was a foreshadowing. Everything was pointing to Jesus. Oh, he was doing work. He was working throughout the Old Testament, okay? And all the way to the new. So Jesus is God, and the Holy Bible is the inerrant word of God. When I say inerrant, that means it's true. It is without error. No matter how many people have tampered with it, God's in control of it. We need to get that straight right now, okay? And as you get into the Bible and you explore it, you'll see that God's word will never be taken away, no matter how people try. The Bible is the true word of God. Most of us know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, complete, and thoroughly equipped for every work. Every work. That means that God has packed. You heard Brother Terry talking about pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom. He's packed that into this Bible. Pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom is what's in this Bible. The word of God is packed in here. His anointing power, his testimony, God's autobiography is packed into this Holy Bible. If you want to know God, this is the word of God. And it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this is the Word also. This is the Word of God, okay? So this is not just a book. It is a supernatural, powerful sword. Like we talked about last week, this is your weapon to fight evil. This is your weapon to slice away depression. This is your weapon to overcome divorce. This is your weapon to go through school. This is your weapon against bullies. This is your weapon to cut away at racism. This is your weapon to dice away at unforgiveness. This is your weapon to slice away at anger. This is your weapon to stab envy in the face. This is your weapon. This is what does it for us. This is the inerrant word of God. It's not a mistake. It's real. Whatever you're going through, if you're depressed at school, this is your weapon. This is your medicine cabinet. This right here. We've got to learn to use this, baby. This is powerful stuff. You can't get this on the street corner. You can't get this at the hospital. You got to get this from Jesus. Because Jesus is in this word. He is the word. Amen. Come on now. I just want to put it into perspective. I didn't mean to say that, but that's what it is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That means they can check it out all they want to. They can talk about it. They can look into it. Okay? Get a word of lie detector test and see what happens. It's true. All right? This is the power of God. So this scripture tells us that. It's accurate. The word of God is true. The contents are tried and tested. Okay? Thousands of years tried and tested. And the Bible exists and it stands as undeniable, infallible truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nobody else, y'all. Nobody else. If there was another God and you find another God that can do what Jesus does or better, please let me know so I can follow him. But I know there is no other God besides Jesus, because folks been trying for centuries and haven't done it. And he is the one true God. For him to come and grab me, I'm telling you, I know he's God. So everyone needs to know this and understand it. There is only one God, but you need to know this. Those of you who are watching, because they get confused. Before I knew the Lord, I didn't understand. I said, if he's God, who is this ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? I don't believe in ghosts. I was just loud with it. I was way off. Didn't know a thing. Christians running around believing in a ghost. Boo. I would say stuff like that. Forgive me, Lord. He knows I was very ignorant. I believe my guy was Smith & Wesson. Maybe you've heard of him. Glock 99. That was my guy. I was a very violent officer, and I had to take care of business. And I figured nobody could help me but me, three people. You know the three I believed in? Me, myself, and I. That's who I believed in. And God came and turned my whole world upside down and introduced himself to me. Okay? And so I know he's God, but I just want you all to know, because there may be somebody watching that's thinking like I'm thinking, okay? Or like I used to think. There may be some men or women out there who feel like they have to do it all themselves, okay? So you need to know this. God exists, okay? One God, all right? That means that he's one God, but he exists in three persons. You see what I mean? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each fully God, but working in unity as one God. You understand that? That explains why I didn't understand about that Holy Ghost, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and God the Father. I said, seems kind of crowded around here. But I understand now it's one God, and he takes on three persons, yet he's one God. And from what I've heard and from scholars and from the Holy Spirit, we will never understand it all. That's just it. We want to know all and everything about God. God said, no way. You'll never know all about me, because you know why? If we knew all about God, we try to be God. If we knew all about God, we try to clone God. We'd be somewhere in some factory saying, you know, we almost got it. We just need a little bit more DNA. We can make a God. And we can make God be God. We can make God have a brother. You think so? Well, we'll put our heads together. But see, God said, no, you'll never know all about me. You know enough to know that I'm God. Amen? That's what we need to know. The one true God. And I want this to be clear to those who say they know God, yet don't have a relationship with God. Because to know someone means to have a relationship with that person. Amen? So it stands to reason that you cannot know God unless you have a relationship with him. Do you remember when you were in eighth and ninth grade and you were maybe driving with your mother and she said, oh, is it? Hey, you see that boy crossing the street, honey? Doesn't he go to your school? Don't you know him? And you said, oh, yeah, I know him, Mama. He's in my ninth grade algebra class. But you didn't really know him. He was just in class with you. You were familiar with him. When you know somebody, you spend time with that person, right? You break bread together. You eat together. You do things together. You visit. You spend time with each other so you know. You converse with one another. See, that's having a relationship with God. Having a relationship with God is not just showing up to church on Sunday and let him give you your homework. See, the way you get to know him is when you're at home. The things you do in the house, the things you do in your quiet time. See, when you know somebody and when you start loving on somebody, you give them the time of day, don't you? You put other things behind because you love this person. So something else got to take a back seat to your relationship with your family. Well, God wants to be your number one. He wants to be your numero uno, okay? He wants to be the one. And that's how we get into a relationship with God. So again, this is not just me talking. I'm only the vessel that God sent to speak his word. But in his word, Jesus says in John 14:6, he tells us very plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through who? Through me, through Jesus Christ. Okay? No one comes to the Father. That means that we are pretty much precluded from accessing God the Father unless we know God the Son. You see what I mean? There's got to be a relationship. Okay, we're precluded from accessing him unless we have an intimate communication or kinship with Christ Jesus. We have to get to know Jesus. We have to get to know him like we know our family. Like this beautiful young lady, Delina. You know, when she came in here, I could just tell they were family. I didn't know if it was a daughter or the aunt or maybe a little sister. But I knew the relationship. There's a relationship. See, you can tell how they communicate with each other. They're not even talking to each other, but you see the communication, don't you? Don't we see it? Okay, well, because you can tell they've spent time with each other. Somebody taught somebody something. I can tell just by the way this young lady is behaving. Well, that's how we need to look at God, because that's what he expects of us. All right? Now bear with me, because I'm trying to line this up for people who don't know God. I know you all know all this, so don't go to sleep on me. Just listen. But anyway, communicating, kinship like family. And you remember that all-girl group back in the day? It was a secular song, but it had a good message. Sister Sledge. And they had a song called We Are Family. Somebody just said it. We Are Family. Who said that? Somebody saw it. Oh, Brother Dan. Okay. Brother Andrew, because he got a family. See, Brother Andrew worked with his family. That's his sister working on the camera, mother sitting right next to him. We are family. They are. That's right. We need to be singing that song to Jesus, because when that's how Jesus. I say that, I brought the song up because it hit me in the head today, and I say, that's right, Lord, a secular song, but the meaning behind family. She said, we are family. I got all my sisters with me. That's what the song went. It went like that. And that's what we need to say. You know, we need to be singing that same, we are family. Huh? I got my God Jesus with me. That's right. I got my God Jesus with me. That's family, right? We are family. Jesus and the Father's in me. That's right. We are family. God is family. God the Father, 1, 2, 3. That's family. Think about it. Yeah, makes sense, don't it? So having the understanding, you know God can use anything for his glory. So having the understanding that we cannot come to our Heavenly Father unless we come through whom? Jesus. Jesus. This illuminates the fact that intimacy with God is necessary. It really is necessary, you all. All right? And that can only be accomplished by becoming close to Jesus. After all, how can you truly believe in someone that you don't know? All right? I mean, you can give someone the benefit of the doubt. When you see strangers and you see them, you want your heart to go out to them, but you don't know them, do you? So you're a little bit apprehensive, right? All right? But belief in someone, true belief, comes from knowledge and of a relational experience with that person. That's absolutely true. All right? Again, it's like family. It's like being with family, right? Because you're raised in a family environment, you come to know each other pretty well. Amen? That's how it is. And when we come to know Jesus that way, our faith and our understanding of Jesus grows. Is that right? Does that make sense? Some of you have been in Christ a long time. But how about the relationship? There are people who've been in Christ for 30 years or so. But some say, you know, I never learned what I'm learning now about the Lord. I never spent this type of time with him. So God wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to come to know him like he knows you. He knows you very well. Well, we need to get to know him that way. Remember I said that faith is believing. The sad part is that there are many, many unsaved people out there who do not believe Jesus to be whom the Bible says he is. How can they come to know? Many are stymied. Many people are stuck, and they're stuck in their own their own ideas concerning morality, their own ideas concerning eternity. I heard an atheist talking the other day to a Christian, and he was, boy, that man that was witnessing to him had a hard time because this man had an answer for everything. He just did not believe in God. And he just didn't. And he felt like whatever he did, it was all right. Because God, somebody made him, he was saying. And he was saying something like, you know, when we leave here, we leave here. And the man said, but you can't be immoral. He said, why not immoral? I'm a man. When I see women, I like women. I like women. I like all kinds of women. What's wrong with that? I'm supposed to be that way. He was just arguing every point. And he wouldn't live. Didn't know Jesus. Totally lost. Totally. Even though this man was trying to give him the gospel. So many people are stuck because they've not accepted the gospel, the good news of Christ. And I want to read you something in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, see if I can get to it in this Bible, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. This is Paul, the apostle, talking. Okay, you got on the board. I'll read it there. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Now that's what it says. And what this means is that Satan, that's boiling down to this, Satan has caused scores of people to be blind, to Christ, to be averse to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've seen people like that who just don't want to hear anything about the gospel of Christ, okay? And that's what this is talking about, that it's veiled to those who are perishing. You can only get to eternal heaven through Jesus Christ. But because people are blind to it, the devil himself has them blind. They're averse to the gospel. Remember, the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar, doesn't it? He says he's a liar and the father of lies, right? Jesus said that. He said in the book of John 8:44, Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. That means that he put the stamp on lying. You know, I said that means he's a big liar, a jumbo liar. I like to use that term. Not jumbo liar, he's a jumbo liar. And you recall that in 1 John 5:19, we talked about that. It told us that the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. The whole world is dancing to the tune of the wicked one. You ever been in a swing and you just let somebody push you, you just sway? Well, consider yourself in a swing and Satan just pushing you. You're in his sway on a seesaw, right? It's the same principle, a revolving door, which a circle, as the song says, and going in circles. We go in circles because we're stuck without Jesus. Without Jesus, we're stuck doing the things that we do. And we don't know him. We don't believe in him. Yet, we don't want to believe in him because we're tied to the things of the world. And Satan is keeping us distracted, the devil and his demons. He's not by himself. He got demons working for him. So then, it's because of sin and the wicked one that people are blocked and blinded, unable to get to the glorious gospel of Christ. We need to know that. There are people who will perish because they're refusing to simply believe in Jesus Christ.
Praise God. The Lord is faithful and not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Keep praying for that lost soul and simply believe God. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't had the opportunity to sow a financial seed and have the desire and the means to do so, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website where giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us Sundays for live worship services on Facebook or Periscope at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for part two of Simply Believe with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time.